This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Life Sculptors Podcast. I'm your host, Dante Poole. Man, so glad to be with you again. We are in season two. This is episode six. This is part three of a series entitled The Grass Isn't Greener, It's Uncut. And it's based on a book by Trevor Noah called Into the Uncut Grass. And I'll be reading a section of that today. But we have been on quite a journey, right? We've been, in part one, we looked at the journey inside out, like how we start well, how we do some internal work to grow towards maturity. And then we talked about in part two, stuck or strong, right? The difference between stubbornness and determination, resistance versus wisdom. And here we are today, and we are navigating life's edges. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like those hard, overlooked places that you just don't like to go through. Like, but it's the places where our perspectives are shaped. It's the places where maturity happens. It's the edge where you come to the end of yourself. You come to the end of your assumptions, the end of your comfort, the end of even your certainty, and are invited to become something more. Yes. Okay. Because the edges, they represent transitions and thresholds and sacred tensions. It's not quite where you were, but not yet where you're going. Okay, I'm going to read the last few portions of the book, and it's going to give perspective to that conversation. So let's get into it. We are in part three and four of the book. Remember, there's a boy, and he's on an adventure in his yard, the uncut grass, with his voice of reason teddy bear, Walter. All right. And so the boy and his old friend found a trail in the grass and began to follow it. The grass grew deeper and wilder around them with every step. They could sense the magic of the forest unfolding as they walked along, petals of golden flowers floating through the air, bushes the size of buses, and the soft breeze they could hear. And on the soft breeze, they could hear the whispers of trees who'd never forgotten how to talk. But now they heard other voices, distant but more distinct. "Do you hear that, Walter?" the boy said. "We should go check it out." "Strange voices in a magical forest," Walter said. "I think we should go the other way." But the boy held the bear's hand tighter and pressed on, following the sound of the voices down the trail and around a tall apple tree where they saw two snails with large, colorful shells. One shell was striped in brilliant red. The other's was marked by a pink spiral. The two snails were in the middle of a great debate. "I say we go left," said Stripe. "And I say we go right," said Spiral. "My friend, I've gone left before," Stripe said, "and the grass makes the journey smoother." "Well, my love, I've gone right before," Spiral said. "There's dirt and rocks and roots, but the path is shorter." "Okay, then, I'll go right," Stripe said. "And I'll go left," said Spiral. "See you on the other side," they said together. "Excuse me," the boy asked, walking closer. "What are you doing?" We're trying to get to the apple that fell from that tree, Stripe said, gesturing with his left tentacle. The boy followed the pointing tentacle with his eyes to the largest apple he'd ever seen. Turns out, Spiral said, it fell a lot farther away than people said. I'm so confused, the boy said. If you choose left and you choose right, why did you both end up going the opposite way? Oh, that's simple, said Stripe. When we can't agree, we don't argue forever. She just goes my way and I go hers, Spiral said. But if you both think you're right, the boy asked, why bother doing it the other way? Because everyone thinks they're right, Spiral said, until they discover they're wrong, Stripe said. Now, if you'll excuse us, they said together, we've got an apple to get to. And the boy and the bear climbed up the tree's lowest branch and sat together to watch the race. The boy was mesmerized by the snails and their beautiful shells. Imagine living with your own home on your back, the boy said to his bear. A house just for you with no one else's rules to follow. But then you could never have a sleepover, Walter reminded him. Then more quietly he added, or a place to go home after an adventure. The two friends returned their attention to the race and was about to begin below them. From that branch, they could see both snails stretching their strange muscles, and they prepared to start their journeys. Stripe took off. She climbed over rocks, roots, dodging wormholes and sharp twigs. The road was rough, but she found rhythm and moved quickly. Well, quickly for a snail, which is pretty slow. And Spiral slid carefully through a smooth section of uncut grass. She stopped for a smell of flower and once to lick a drop of dew from a leaf. Then she stopped again to watch a cluster of butterflies twirling overhead. And when she arrived at the apple, Stripe was already there waiting. You are right, Stripe said, shaking her pebbles from her tentacles and dirt from her shell. The dirt path is so much shorter. Let's use it next time. But you were right, too, Spiral said, her eyes still wide with delight. The grass path was beautiful and smooth. I saw butterflies, flowers, and so much sky. And the snails, they began devouring the apple together, stopping every now and then to share stories of different adventures. The boy and Walter listened for a while, because the snails had traveled many roads in their lives. But now it was time to keep walking. Walter? Yes, friend. What do you think we would have seen if we've tried things Mom's way? They walked together a little further, their feet sometimes tangling in the growing grass, pondering the paths they had taken. The boy remembered his abandoned list of adventures. Walter thought about waffles. Ah, look, there are two paths, the boy said. Which one should we take? Walter asked. I think this one will take us deeper to the uncut grass, the boy said uncertainly. And this one will take us back home, Walter said hopefully. I don't know, the boy said. We've come so far already. He began pacing in the deep grass together to gather his thoughts, which were now scattering across his mind. Hey, watch out! The boy and the bear heard a tiny, teeny voice coming from somewhere beneath them. They got down on their knees and pushed the grass to the side to see a source of the sound. Heads or tails? Heads or tails? Flip the coin. It never fails. Chanted a collection of coins gathered in the grass. The coins of different metals and sizes were arranged in a circle surrounding one older coin who smiled as the others shouted. And suddenly the coins reached forward and with one heave lifted the large coin and flipped it into the air. When it landed, they all cheered. It's decided! We will dance! They shouted. Then they threw themselves against one another, making a delightful jingling sound. Hey there, the large old coin said to the boy, dusting himself off. I know you from a long time ago, only you used to be bigger and much hairier. I don't think I've been hairy, the boy said. And this is the biggest I've ever been. Yes, I'm sure of it. You've shrunk Remember, I used to live in your pocket. Oh, wait. You must be thinking of my grandfather, the boy said. He definitely is hairy. Of course, that makes much more sense now. And so the boy asked, nice to meet you. Is this a party? We're celebrating our latest decision, the old coin said. Half the coins wanted to have ice cream, and the other wanted to have a dance party. Well, how did you decide? The boy asked. The way we make all of our decisions, the old coin said. We flip. Well, me. That's our rule. Heads or tails, fate decides, and how it lands, we all abide. Well, that sounds fun, the boy said. But does anyone get mad when they don't get their way? A smaller coin rolled over and spoke up. You can't get mad at luck. We have traveled from one pocket to another all over the world, said the old coin. And everywhere we've been, we've seen people arguing over silly things. One person wants to ride the bus and the other wants to take the train, the smaller coin said. And one person wants to buy candy and the other person wants to buy a potato. Friends argue with each other, the old coin continued. Parents argue with kids, dogs argue with cats, and for what? So we decided we'd rather compromise together than get what we want all alone. And after all, we're coins, they said. We need one another to add up to anything at all. But what if you follow the coin flip and things go wrong, the boy asked. Well, that's the beauty of life, the old coin said. Sometimes you make the right choice and things go wrong, and sometimes you make the wrong choice and things go right. And there are two sides to every coin, Walter said. And the third side, the smaller coin said, the edges. Everyone forgets the edges. Or maybe there's just one side, the old coin said. We can't always decide what will happen in life, but we can always decide who it will happen with. The boy looked back at the path and the path that led to the deeper grass, to the deeper uncut grass, should I say, and one path that led back to the house, the unmade bed, Walter's waffles, and their mother. And he turned to the old coin. Do you think I could try it? Of course, the old coin said. Flip away. The boy thought it might be rude to throw the old coin into the air, so he flipped himself instead, and he tumbled from head to foot and back again while all the coins chanted. Even Walter joined in. Heads or tails, it's the way that never fails. Finally, the boy landed in the dirt and laughed while the coins all cheered, and Walter said, I think I know what we should do. The boy looked back at the crossroads. Do you think it's too late to go home? One more time, Walter reminded the boy of what he already knew. If you still call it home, he said, you can always go back. The end. Into the uncut grass. Ah! Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. Y'all, there is a moment in the story where the boy and Walter run up on some snails. And these snails are having an argument about an apple, right? And each snail has history with a certain route and some experience. And then they decide to go the other way. And then the boy looks at the one snail and says, well, why are you choosing to go the other way? And of course, the snail says, when we can't agree, we don't argue forever. We just go the other person's way. We go the other snail's way. And the boy asks, hey, but if you think you're both right, you know, what do you do? And I love this. It's because it says, everyone thinks they're right until they're wrong. I mean, how many times in your life have you thought you were right about something only to find out you were wrong? In that moment when you thought you were right, nobody could tell you anything different. You were right. See, there's some lessons we can learn from those snails, right? And like this moment with these snails just helps us to remember how important compromise is, and humility and shared wisdom. We don't always know all the things we need to know. We need other people. You've heard me say that to you before. And sometimes the way forward is not about winning, but it's about willingness. Am I willing to be flexible enough to get me more information so I can get there? Everyone thinks they're right until they're wrong. Like, this isn't about you always having to be right, but it's I don't always have to be right to move in the right direction. That's really what I'm trying to tell you, that I don't always have to be right to move in the right direction. I just want you to consider letting go of your need to be right and choose wisdom, the wisdom of mutual movement. What I appreciate about the snails, that their movement was slow, but it was steady. It was purposeful, right? And so you don't have to move fast to move forward. Oh, I'll say it again for the people who weren't listening, like you turned away, you got distracted by something. Here it is again. You don't have to move fast to move forward. Like, just because others are moving faster than you doesn't mean that they're ahead. Yes, it doesn't mean they're ahead. Like, progress is very personal. Like, what looks like progress in my life looks different in somebody else's life. As a matter of fact, progress in my life might be a setback in somebody else's life. So movement, it should be mindful. It should be mindful. And don't miss your purpose by trying to mimic somebody else's pace. You could move slow and still be getting somewhere sacred. Okay. And let me ask the question this way. What would change if you saw every tough moment as an invitation to grow? That part. Like, because life is rarely black and white, right? Life is rarely like this or that. Like, there's always, like, wisdom in the middle. There is nuance to life. And we forget about the edges. We forget the hard lessons, the tough decisions. We forget the perspectives that challenge us. We forget that sometimes we don't want to choose, but the journey forces us to choose. See, the edges, that's where all of this is happening, the snail and the coins, all of this is happening. The boy has reached the edges, see? And the edges, it's a metaphor for another way, an often overlooked and neglected place in our lives, the edges. It's the place between clarity and confusion, or comfort and conviction. Like, the edge is often not comfortable, but it is always honest. Always honest. See, there's a word, a phrase I want to introduce here. It's called sacred tension. It's the wisdom in the in-between. Yep. So what does it mean then to come to the edge of ourselves? It means that we come to the edge of, one, what's familiar. We come to the end of familiarity. Like, we come to the edge of ourselves where we're no longer functioning out of instinct and comfort or previous patterns. Like, we come to the edge of ourselves. It's the moment when what you know and who you've been are no longer enough for where you're going. Like, life is asking something of you that what you knew before and who you were before needs an upgrade. Yeah. It's the place where your strength ends and surrender begins. That's the edge. That's the edge. And so it's the end of what's familiar, but it's also a threshold. Like, the edge, it marks a transition point. It's where you leave behind what's old but haven't fully stepped into what's new. This is the sacred tension, y'all. Okay, it's been a while since I introduced this vocabulary word, but I want to introduce this word that's come across my viewing point recently, and it's liminal, L-I-M-I-N-A-L. A liminal space. And I want to read this to you. It says that the term liminal originates from the Latin word limen, L-I-M-E-N. It means threshold. It refers to the transformative space between two stages or condition where one is neither fully in the old state nor completely in the new. Liminal, y'all. This transition phase is often characterized by ambiguity, uncertainty, and a sense of departure from what's familiar. I love a good word. Liminal. There we go. Right? And so in the context of life's journey, right, the liminal space is where profound growth and depth of introspection occur. It's the sacred tension where our past narratives begin to unravel and the new clarity hasn't formed yet. We hate that space because we like to know. We want to be confident, but this liminal space, it's like a waiting room. And just like it's like you're in a waiting room and you know something is about to happen, but haven't gotten there yet. But you don't even control when it's gonna happen, and where you are coming from is no longer enough because you know that something new is coming and you're in the liminal space. It's to embrace transformation. So the edge, it's about what's unfamiliar, right? It's leaving what's familiar. It's the threshold or the liminal space, but also the edge is an invitation. It's an invitation. It doesn't just mark the limits of our lives, but it invites us to evolve, to think differently, to choose what's better over what's familiar. It asks us, will you cling to control or step into transformation? So the purpose of the edge is to stretch you to reveal what's unresolved, because sometimes the edge presses up against what we've buried, what we've avoided. Man. It reveals what has been unresolved, and it exposes our beliefs, our false beliefs even, like this idea that control equals safety, or that fast is better, or that agreement equals what's right. Just because people agree about it doesn't make it right. Oh, I digress. And it invites us into new perspectives, like the coins in our story, like the edges allow us to see another way. I love this quote. You ready? The edge of yourself is the beginning of the development of something greater. The edge of yourself is the beginning of the development of something greater. Like, where in your life are you trying to live just on one side when the truth lives in the tension between the one side and the other, like on the edge? In the story, the boy says, hey, I want to go back. Like, he realizes that he has changed. And sometimes when you have to make that kind of choice, like, he's like, I gotta go back because and going back wasn't really him going backwards. It was him going back to the house, but he was really moving forward. This is the paradox of this whole thing right here, that he's going back to the house, but he's moving forward. moving forward requires consistency and discipline to create the rhythm even of forward movement. Yes.
How
many of your goals and resolutions that you made in January, maybe you made them back in December, have you already given up on? Why is it so easy for us to give up on the goals we set for ourselves? We'll hold the goals in place for the businesses we work for, or the employers, or even our own business. We set those goals for everybody else. If you're a teacher, you set it for your students. If you're a business person, you set it for your team. Whatever it is you do, you set goals and you hold fast to those goals for everybody else, but you surrender them so easily for yourself. Y'all, it's discipline. Yes. See, the momentum that we've created through our current condition is hard to stop, even when it's no longer serving us well. We'll keep doing something that isn't serving us well because it has momentum, see? And so it requires a force to cause it to stop. A decision is a force that breaks the momentum and causes another direction. A decision. Side note, not really side note, but an addendum to this, or an addition to this, should I say, is this. That just because it's familiar doesn't always mean it's good for you. It may have even been good for you in a previous moment or season, but that good thing can become a bad thing when it is used past its expiration date. Yes. Y'all, listen. Do you know that seasons and opportunities have expiration dates like food? Like they have a best used by label on them and we ignore them. You know why we ignore them? Because we are gifted at procrastinating. We think we got tomorrow to get it done. And I'm just telling you, procrastination is deadly to our achievements. It is deadly. There's an old saying, strike while the iron is hot, I think is the way it goes. And I may have botched it up, but you get what I'm trying to tell you. It just refers to taking advantage of the optimal opportunity or moment to take care of something. If you wait too long, it doesn't mean you can't achieve it. It just means it's so much harder. Pay attention to the expiration labels that's on your opportunities. Oh, man. Okay. So consistency and discipline are partners in accomplishing anything worthy. And they require you to make one decision over and over again. I know you're saying, what are you talking about, man? I'm talking about you only have to make this one decision over and over again. That's how you're going to stay consistent and disciplined. Well, then what is that decision? Here it is. It's the decision that you're worth the effort it will take to accomplish the things that you're after. You are worth the decision that you need to make to pursue that thing, for the effort it's going to take to accomplish whatever it is that you need to accomplish to get the thing you're after. You are worth that decision. That's the one key decision you're going to have to make that's going to get you there. So when you face resistance from without, make the decision. When other people are saying, I don't know, make the decision that you're worth it. When you face resistance from within, when your self-doubt and your low self-confidence gets in the way, make the decision. You will never regret the decision you made for progress, but you will always regret the decision you made to stay where you are when you know that there's more. Mm-hmm. Have you been carrying something that expired in the previous season? put it down. Just put it down. Just put it down. Just put it down. Just put it down. And so we forget about the edges, right? I love the conversation with the coins, and it's like, you know, there's two sides to a coin, and a little one says, hey, don't forget the edge. The edge counts too. We forget the edges, but they are there, and they are where the most defining moments of our life often occur. Right on the edge. So don't rush past what feels hard and difficult. Lean into that discomfort. Lean into that discomfort. I want to challenge you to name an edge in your life that you've been avoiding. Something that's been stretching you beyond what's familiar, where you're at, it's something that's inviting you into a liminal space. What has that edge been trying to teach you, right? What has that edge been trying to teach you? And what one decision have you been delaying that could move you forward? The edge isn't where the story ends. It's where wisdom begins. So good, so good, so good. Oh, man, listen, thanks for walking through the uncut grass with me. Keep growing, y'all. Keep walking. Keep remembering, right? And listen, if you haven't bought the book yet, this is a good opportunity. I'm telling you, developing a durable mind will help you with all of this. So good, so much good, so much good. And remember, listen, like, share, subscribe, all the things. Do all the things, because you are exactly enough.